Lord, what a privilege it is to have your word open before us, that we can hear you speak. And we pray that this morning, as Mary speaks to us, you will be speaking through her. Give her confidence and encouragement despite the shortness of preparation. Give Elizabeth words to read out which strike us and keep us in your kingdom, words which will encourage and strengthen. May we know this morning the presence of your Spirit to be with us and to encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Those of you who've read chapter 2 of Daniel will realize it's a very long chapter. And so we're just going to summarize the first bit, and then Mary will be speaking on the latter bit. So if you read the first verse, it says, "Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him." So the king asked all his magicians and wise men and people to tell him what his dream was, because he'd forgotten it. Sometimes we know we've had a dream, don't we? And we forget it in the morning, but you wouldn't expect anybody else to know what it was. But Nebuchadnezzar did, and he wanted all his wise men and the Chaldeans and the magicians and everybody to come round and tell him what the dream was and then tell him what the interpretation was. Well, that was a tall order, really, wasn't it? But he did that, and he said, "And if you can't do it, we're going to chop you in pieces." I mean, you know, that's the punishment for not being able to tell this dream. So they were really in a tough spot. And they said to him, "Well, nobody on earth could possibly interpret dreams. There's only God can do that." And they did recognize that. But in fact, when it came to the point where the people who were chasing them up heard about Daniel and his friends, they realized that they were probably in the same position too. So they were just about to round them up too, when Daniel went to the leader of the army and he said, "Look, just give us time. We will pray to our God." And that's where the reading starts in verse 14. "Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the kingdom of the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree from the king so urgent?' Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from God, God of heaven, concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of you, and you have made known to us the king's demand.' Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation.' Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation.' The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king has demanded, The wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came into your mind while you were on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what he will. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than any living being, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. To be continued.
It's good to have this opportunity to share the word. And I would like to give this morning's talk a different title, if I may. I think we should call it Wisdom from God. Although there is the thing about the other kingdoms, the main thing that comes over is wisdom, receiving wisdom from God. As we know, we heard last week, Daniel and his three friends were in exile and they were serving Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And they had 3 years training in the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And they'd stood firm and refused to eat the king's special food that had been offered to idols. And they were on a vegetarian diet. And they were told that they said to the king, just test us and see if this works. And it was wonderful because they were more healthy looking than the other people. And they had wisdom and knowledge and skill. And they were brought into the king's service. Now, this is where we come into chapter 2. And the first heading that actually Ron had given this was that only God can reveal secrets or mysteries. And that's the first point I want to make. It's only God who can reveal the secret things. You know that Daniel was in a really tight spot when the king said, come on, tell me what my dream means. Tell me what I dreamt first and then what it means. And the king knew that it was important because in those days, dreams were very important and it was the sort of dream that he knew would be difficult and would be significant for him. So he couldn't sleep and he tossed and turned and he called all his magicians and they couldn't do it. And they were threatened, as we heard, with death if they didn't interpret the dream. And I like the bit in verse 17 that says, Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. So they met together and committed it to the Lord, prayed together, and the Lord answered them. And the wonderful thing is that the secret was revealed to Daniel, verse 19, in a night vision. And I wonder whether that was the same dream, whether he actually had the same dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. But anyway, he had the dream and the interpretation, and he blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises kings. So he praised God and he recognized that it was God's power and that God was in control, that God had put Nebuchadnezzar in place for a purpose. And just as the same way he put Cyrus later on for a purpose. And I wonder if we really believe this today. If we believe that our government is raised up by God, do we believe that those in authority over us are raised up by God? Do we believe that God's in control? Well, I think it's important to realize that God is in control and he's in charge. And whether we find things difficult, whether we can't understand, he's still there for us. And the wonderful thing, too, is that we can receive wisdom, just like Daniel did. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, we see that wisdom is available for us as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul is talking about the manifestation of the gifts, and he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is part of what God gives through the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, Paul's talking about the wisdom of God. He said, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. You may be wondering how you receive this wisdom. Well, it comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, it's easy to say that, but we have to be in a place where we could receive what God wants to give us by his Spirit. And the same with a word of knowledge. I've known times when I've been praying for somebody and I've just known that there's something about that person that the Lord wants to touch. Well, it's only through the Holy Spirit that God gives that insight. And it's very special when it happens. So we can receive this same wisdom that Daniel had. And notice how humble Daniel was in verse 30. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. He realized that this was a word for Nebuchadnezzar, and he realized that God had given that word and that Nebuchadnezzar had to take heed of what God was saying, because he was talking about the future, the things that were going to happen. And that's our second heading, that God can make known the future and also cause it to happen. You may wonder about that, but I believe that's true, that God can make known the future and also cause it to happen. And when we look at what this dream was, we'll see that many of these things were fulfilled. Now, Daniel said to the king, you, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. It was huge. This image's head was of fine gold. Could we have the image, please? There we have it. Those of you who were at Nigel's talk last Sunday, you'll recognize this figure from the notes that he gave us. And he had it up on the screen. And I was so busy thinking of what Nigel was saying and looking at the words that I didn't pay much attention to the image. But Lisbeth told me that what a good picture it was, she, being artistic, would notice that more than anything. And she said, when she knew I was going to do this, she said, "You must have a picture of the image, because it's such a good picture." And it is, it's very clear. Now, the first thing about the image was his head was of fine gold, and his chest and arms were silver. Now, the head was representing Babylon, and Daniel, it was, in a way, he was flattering Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you're the head, you're the image of gold, head of gold. You're the great king. God's given you power and kingdom. That's in verse 37. And God has made you ruler over them all, and you are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. And that was the silver, the top part of the image of the shoulders and the chest. And that was the Medes and Persians who came after Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was defeated by the Medes and Persians, and Babylon fell. After the greatness of Nebuchadnezzar, it fell. And the Medes and Persians took over. And we've got to remember that God is still working in that area today in the world. You may think I'm daft, but the Medes and Persians is the area where Iran is now. And we've heard wonderful news of what's happening in Iran. God is working there by his Holy Spirit. And he's fulfilling his word there. But at that time, the Medes and Persians, they weren't subject to the Lord. And they came and they conquered Babylon. And then the next one was the torso and the thighs, a bronze body, and that was the Greek Empire. Now, we've all heard of the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. That was the empire that sort of spread quite far over. If you've got a map in the back of your Bible or a Bible atlas, it's a good idea to look up these empires, because they all were over that area of the Eastern Mediterranean. And then the Roman Empire was the one with the legs of iron. Legs of iron. Yes. Now, the two legs are significant. The first leg was the Eastern Empire, and the next one, the Western Empire. It shows that the kingdom was going to be divided into two. And if you know your history, you'll know that the Roman Empire was divided into two halves. And then the feet of iron and clay, that is symbolic of the fact that there was a mixture of peoples. Later on in the Roman Empire, there were a mixture of people, and it didn't stay together. It broke apart. And that's where our phrase, feet of clay, comes from. So there was disunity in the Roman Empire. Now, you notice that all these things came to pass in the end. And Nebuchadnezzar just saw that dream, and God was showing him that all this was going to happen in the end. And when we get to chapter 7, there's another dream and another vision, and it's similar. You'll see how the two tie up. But the stone was there. It was cut out without hands, and it struck an image. You can just about see. Oh, they haven't got a stone on that one. Some of the pictures you see, they have a stone sitting at the bottom. And it says here, as the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. They will mix with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron doesn't mix with clay. Now, in the days of these kings, notice that's the Roman Empire now, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's, of course, in the time of Jesus, in the Roman Empire. He set up a kingdom then which shall never be destroyed. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. And the stone was cut out without hands, and it grew and became a great mountain and destroyed all the kingdoms, and there was no trace of them. So when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he said, your kingdom, you reign over a kingdom that shall have no end. There are many prophecies about the kingdom of Jesus. And it's wonderful that God is still working and he's fulfilling his purpose. This was all part of his purpose, all these different empires following one after the other and taking over the area where the Lord's people were. And then the Lord allowed Cyrus to send the people back from exile, which we can't go into detail now, but it's, if you read it up, it's very interesting. The third point is that God's kingdom has come. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Where is it? The stone that knocked over the image, the kingdom of God, is never destroyed. There we've got the third point. Yes, God's kingdom will never be destroyed. His indestructible kingdom will never be destroyed. So what do we mean by the kingdom? Well, we've heard quite a lot of teaching about it in different ways, and it's a big subject. We can't go into it. But the kingdom really is basically the rule of the king. It's not so much a geographical thing. We think of kingdoms as geography, places, and nations, but the kingdom of God is the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the rule in our hearts. It's the important thing. That's where Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. So with the rule of Jesus is what the kingdom means. And I wonder if he's the king in our lives. That's another challenge for us today. Is he actually the king in every area of our lives? Our time, our possessions, all the things that we think of as so valuable. But God is in control. I'd like to just read from Hebrews chapter 12. It's one of my favorite bits about the kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know, there's a prophecy in Haggai that says that there's going to be a great shaking. God will shake all nations. And it says that in verse 26 of Hebrews 12, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he's promised, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, and the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The removal of things that can't be shaken, so that those things that can't be shaken may remain. All the things that can be shaken are the physical things, the material things, but the things that can't be shaken are the things of God, the kingdom of God. And the writer goes on to say, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Then he goes on about let brotherly love continue. So we're members of this kingdom that can't be shaken. I think that's very encouraging in these days when everything's being shaken in the world. Every area is being shaken, economically, politically, every way. But God is in control. And again, I ask, do we believe it? Do we really believe it? When things go wrong in our lives, when things aren't turning out as we wanted them to turn out, well, let's remember that the Lord is in control. He's king over the nations. And we can trust him. We can trust him even when we don't understand. So the Lord reigns. That's the last word today. The Lord reigns. And he's actually coming back to reign. I hope we believe that too, that he's coming back to Jerusalem to stand on the Mount of Olives. If you look at Zechariah, you'll find that out. But it's a wonderful thing that the Lord is king and he keeps his promises and he helped Daniel and gave wisdom to Daniel and his friends. And he received the word while they were praying together. That's a word for us too. Thank you.